Psychological in nature, I still have to struggle with those every day. I have to struggle with those. It's not like I graduated and I met those requirements. Like, you know, you take prerequisites in college, you meet the prerequisite, and that's it. You don't have to go back to it anymore. It's not the case with Baha'i. These requirements, they're of a different nature. And the first of those requirements is understanding and reminding oneself every single time, why am I learning this? Why am I doing this? Why am I learning Arabic? Why am I memorizing these ayat? What is the point of all of this? The intention behind all of this? And all of you know the cliche answer, and the cliche answer is, this is so I can have guidance. This is so I can have guidance. That's the, you know, Quran is guidance. You study it for guidance. But that term is used so often that we actually don't understand what that really means. What does it mean that I'm asking Allah for guidance? What that means is that on a given day, every single moment of my day, I will be presented with choices. Should I stay in bed or should I wake up? Should I look there or should I look down? Should I talk back or should I stay quiet? Should I earn my money this way or should I find another job? Should I pursue this or should I leave those friends? Should I hang out with them or should I not hang out? Should I respond back to the text message or not? Choices. All the time, every second of the day, you and I are going to be faced with choices. When we ask Allah for guidance, we are asking Allah for the strength to make the right choices. Now Allah empowers us because of His Word to make the right choices. Guidance of the Quran, that's what that means. That's what that means. And I tell you, when you are ready and you're strong enough to make the right choice, like for example, I'll tell you an example. There are many sisters, for example, I'm not picking on sisters. Relax, okay, calm down. But sister came up to me and said, I want to wear the hijab, but I can't. I'm not ready yet. And I said, you have to tell me what that means. I'm trying to understand, what does it mean when you say you're not ready yet? I'm not belittling your concern, I just want to understand. And she said something like, I feel like I'm not a good enough person, and if you wear hijab, everybody thinks you're a good person. And I don't want to give the impression that I'm such a righteous person. I want to be who I really am. So when I'm a better person, then I'm going to wear it. And I said, there is not going to ever come a day in your life that you will wake up and look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm a good person today. Finally, I've been waiting all this time to become a better person. Because that would mean you're self-righteous. And self-righteous people are the worst kinds of people. You and I will never be good enough. We're never going to be good enough to obey Allah. You still have to do it. If you're convinced it's something you have to do, you can't put it off. Why am I bringing this up now? Because guidance. If you accept this book as guidance, if I accept this book as guidance, you know what that necessarily means? That necessarily means I'm going to have to change the way I make my choices. I am used to making bad choices. Get used to it. I just do it all the time. I don't even think twice about it. I even start telling myself what Shaitan keeps telling me. I start telling myself, what's the big deal? You're messed up anyway, but at least you do some other good things. Your good deeds should compensate for these bad things. Just do it, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Why are you so hard on yourself? Or the Shaitan comes and tells you, you're messed up anyway, might as well just go, you know, die partying. I mean, you're going to burn anyway, so might as well live it up for the little time you have left. And you start telling yourself that. Shaitan tells you that enough times that he leaves you on autopilot, and now you can tell yourself. He's not even doing waswasa to you anymore, you are enough to do waswasa to yourself. That's what happens to some people. That is why we have to recite the Quran and reflect on the Quran regularly to fight those temptations, to fight those inclinations, to fight those voices inside us that lead us to failure, that lead me to failure and lead you to failure. And it doesn't matter if you're a student of knowledge, it doesn't matter if you're a scholar, a teacher, a student, an expert, a novice, doesn't matter. This will happen to all of us. This is going to happen to all of us. The size of your, the color of your hijab doesn't matter, the size of your beard doesn't matter. Your age doesn't matter. Shaitan will not spare any of us. He will come. And Allah offers us His protection. We recite Quran and we say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ You're going to recite Quran, seek Allah's refuge from Shaitan. Two reasons for that. One, if you don't seek refuge of Allah from Shaitan while you're reciting Quran, He will mess up your reading of the Quran. He will put waswasa in it, He'll distract you, you won't get the benefit you need to get. Two, one of the reasons you should recite the Quran is to get protection against
Ketan.
It is why Allah gave you this book. It is why Allah gave us this book. The actual engagement, I've said this in several talks, but I don't get tired of telling myself. Even if you don't have it, you've heard it 20 times and you're tired of it, I don't get tired of it. The actual relationship I have with the Quran is not when I'm listening to a lecture. Is not when I'm, you know, when I'm memorizing. You know when the actual relationship I have with the Quran happens? When I'm standing in Salat and reciting it. When I'm standing in Salat and I'm listening to it being recited. The relationship we have with the Quran happens 5 times a day at least. That is, if somebody's Salat is good, their Quran is good. And if somebody's not engaging with the Quran in their Salat, then their relationship with the Quran is entirely artificial. It means nothing. It is an entirely academic exercise and a superficial exercise. The real Quran happens in Salat. Everything I learn, everything you learn about this book, whether it's just tajweed, or its language, or its tafsir, or memorizing its ayat, all of it boils down to, I will have a better Salat. I will have better Salat. If I will not have better Salat, all of this is in vain. None of it matters. Because Salat is officially when you stop talking to everybody else, and I start talking to Allah. And I start talking to Allah in words that He taught me, that He taught you. That's the conversation. That's the conversation that matters. Nothing else in life, everything else in life is in vain. If this is an interest. Now I want to share with you some ayat, and I'm going to be brief with some and detailed in some others. Originally, when I thought about what I'm going to talk to you guys about today, I was thinking about the 16th ayah of the surah, Surah Al-Hadid. But I figured I'd start from the beginning and I end at 16, inshallah. Hopefully we can finish that in time. In this surah, this is the Madani surah. By most accounts of the Sahaba, it was already 4 years in Medina when this surah came down. So Hijrah happened 4 years ago. The Muslims have gone through a lot in these 4 years. And one of the problems they've experienced is that overall there's becoming a problem in motivation. The iman is not what it used to be. And Allah Azza wa Jalla notices that there are some weak elements in the Muslim community. Even among the, you know, there are some who just became Muslim, they don't realize what they've gotten themselves into. There are some who are suffering from the disease of hypocrisy, nifaq. Among the ranks of the Sahaba, there's not somebody who has a label on their forehead, on their munafiq, on their munafiq. They're inside that community and it's a problem. But Allah addresses all of them together. What's beautiful about this surah, even though it is Madani, 6 ayat of this surah sound completely Makki. First 6 ayat sound like they're Makkah Quran. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Everything in the skies and the earth declares Allah's perfection. He's the ultimate authority. He's the one full of wisdom. This ayah is introducing us to Allah. You would think the ayat that introduce humanity to Allah would happen in Makki Quran or Madani Quran? Makki Quran. Next ayat, مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَلَا يَعْرِفُ الْمُسْلِمْ بَعْدِ. The Muslim doesn't know already. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He owns everything. He owns the kingdom of the skies and the earth. يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. He gives life and He gives death. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And He's in complete control over everything. Muslims, 4th year after Hijrah. Don't know this? They know this already or no? They know this already. This is not needing an academic prerequisite. These ayat are not there to fulfill an academic prerequisite. The Muslims are not going to learn something new in these ayat that they don't already know. They already know سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They already know وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. They already know لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They already know يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. They already know وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. 2/3 of the Quran is Makki. Most of Makki Quran is about iman in Allah. It describes Allah. It talks about Allah's ayat. It talks about Allah's attributes, Allah's names. And this is Madani Quran, and Allah is giving the Muslims a khutbah, and the khutbah begins like this: Huwa al-awwal wa al-akhir wa al-zahir wa al-batin. He's the first and the last, the most obvious and the most hidden. Wa huwa bi kulli shay'in 'aleem. And He is knowledgeable of all things. He knows everything. And He always knows it. And He's always known it. And there's not a thing He doesn't know. Wa huwa alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal ardha fi sittati ayyam. He created the skies and the earth in 6 days. Thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh. Then He rose upon or balanced al-'arsh, the throne. Ya'lamu ma yalju fil ardh. He knows what goes into the earth. وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. And what comes out of the earth.
These are ayat that you would think Allah would give to, like, they don't think about the creation of Allah, they don't think about the sky, they don't think about the earth. The Muslim already knows all of this, I told you. But Allah is making me and making you think about this again. So let's start over. Let's start over. And let's start over this time knowing that Allah, knowing that we are Muslim, is still telling us this. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ. Everything in the sky declares Allah's perfection. In parentheses, what is wrong with you? What happened to your tasbeeh? وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزِ. He's the ultimate authority. How come my authority is not enough that you don't respect it? Al-Hakim. It's full of wisdom. Why don't you trust that the things I'm telling you to do are good for you? Why don't you have any confidence in my wisdom? He says, لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The kingdom of the skies and the earth belongs to Him. Why are you afraid of your enemy? Why are you afraid they have something, they have a weapon in their hand, they have money in their hand, they have power in their hand that will somehow harm you? There is nothing in the skies and the earth that is outside of my kingdom. All of the battle between truth and falsehood is happening inside Allah's kingdom and inside my kingdom. What do you have to fear someone else for? Why are you afraid of anyone else? Are you afraid of dying? He says, Yuhyi wa yumeet. He gives life. He gives death. Why are you worried about life and death? He will give and He will take because it's not yours to keep. We call it my life. I want to live my life. Who says it's yours? Where'd you get mine from? People say, my hand hurts. Is your hand? But how much you pay for it? Where'd you get it from? Amazon? Where'd you get your hand from? My life, my hand, my car, my house. Well, it's mine. He gives life. He gives death. He's given you this opportunity and you will take this opportunity. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And oh, no, no. He wouldn't do that. No, he can do anything. He's in control of all things. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرِ. He's the first and the last. And this has many interpretations, but at the personal level, the first priority, the first thought in your day should be what? Allah. The last thing you leave this world with, the last thing you do before you go to sleep, you think about your master. What did I do for you, my master, today? Me, this insignificant creature, what did I do today for you? I'm going to this bed, and I'm going to sleep, and I don't know if I'll wake up again. And I don't know if I have to stand in front of you before I wake up, I'm going to stand in front of you. My first and my last thought. وَظَاهِرْ وَالْبَاطِنِ. And He is so obvious. He is so obvious. Allah is in the unseen. How is He calling Himself Allah? The ultimately obvious. The one who believes, they see Allah in everything. They see Allah in the sunshine, Allah's work. They see Allah in His work. They see Allah in His creation. They see Allah in His planning. Well, this ظَاهِرْ is done always. Sometimes really annoying things happen to you. Really annoying thing. Then you get stuck in traffic on your way to every class. 45 minutes late. You're upset. You're like, is that part of Allah's plan? Yes. Because you need to learn Sabah more than you need to learn Arabic sometimes. So He's going to teach it to you. Now if that means He has to make you lose your keys, He'll make you lose your keys. It's part of His plan. Because He's helping you to control your temper. He's helping you learn to rely on Him. Sometimes it makes you pass a test, sometimes it makes you fail a test. So you learn to understand where success and failure comes from. What about it? He's ultimately hidden. You'll think everything's happening around you, you'll see Allah. He's the ultimately hidden. He's the universe's best kept secret. Allah Azza wa Jalla. And at the same time, His work is the most obvious. It makes Him the most obvious. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And He knows all things. There's nothing. Just because you don't see Allah doesn't mean He doesn't know what's going on. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. He created the skies and the earth in 6 days. A display of His power. Then He rose upon al-Arsh, the throne. The Arsh is described in Arabic literature for the throne of a king. When Allah describes that He's on the throne, that makes Him the king. That makes us His subjects. It's supposed to, the more you describe the greatness of Allah, the more it should insert in even humility. It should instill humility inside him. Al-Arsh. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And His Arsh is where? Up. So high. A
above seven heavens. Above seven heavens. And in the very next ayah, he says he knows what goes into the earth. Very next kalam. That's the lowest you can be. Al-Aw. This is why this world is called Al-Hayat al-Dunya, the lowest life. He from his highest throne knows what is going into the lowest place, the earth. وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا and what comes out of it. وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ and what comes down from the sky, he knows. وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا and what rises up to the sky, he knows. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ He is with you. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ He is with you. أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ Wherever you may find yourselves. Wherever you may be. You are not alone. He is with you. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ His ma'iyya, his company, he's there. He's watching. He's protecting. He's observing. He's testing. Constantly. I am never alone. I'm not alone in the hotel room. I'm not alone on campus. I'm not alone in the car. I'm not alone. We're never alone. You know? These people that want to look for alien life in the universe, are we alone in the universe? We have the answer. We're not alone. We're never alone. We were never alone. And actually, we ourselves are aliens. We were sent on this earth. We're not from this earth. So if you're looking for alien life, look at each other. Every one of you, part of you is alien. It came from the sky. An angel delivered the ruh into your mother's belly. Right? We're not from this world. Well, part of us is. Part of us grew from the earth. And even that started with our father, Adam alayhi salam, who was himself sent down from Jannah. He was himself sent down from Jannah. He knows what goes into the earth. He knows what will come out of there. He knows what comes from the sky and what goes up into the sky. He's with you. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهِ If we just understood this one ayah, what does I know? Well, that's a part of an ayah. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ He is with you wherever you are. The way I speak would change, the websites I browse would change, the phone numbers I dial would change, and everything would change. Everything about me would change. Do people act differently when their boss is in the room? Do people act differently when they see a police car on the highway on the side? They do, don't they? Do people act differently when they know there's a camera on the street light, on the stop sign? They do, don't they? Automatic pop-up? Automatic sound? You recognize the presence of a higher power, and it changes your behavior. If we internalize هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ there would necessarily be a change in my behavior. There would be. And if it's not happening, maybe I don't really understand what this means yet. Maybe it's all up in my head, it hasn't entered my heart, but it means He's with you wherever you are. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ Then I want to tell you something about the word مَعَ. Such a beautiful word that Allah chose. You know, to say that someone is with someone, there are multiple ways of saying that. Someone next to me could be huwa bijanibikum, huwa sahibukum, yashabukum, you have a company, he says huwa ma'akum. Ma'iyya is used when someone's there to support you. Ma'a is not just used for with, it is used for someone is there to support you. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving confidence to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and he is in the cave and he says, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't worry about it. Allah is with us. Allah is with the Quraysh too. Allah is with everybody. But what does that mean, إن الله معنا? Allah is in support of us. Allah is protecting us. He's taking care of you. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ And Allah watches what you're doing. Full view He has of everything you're up to. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ He knows. He owns alone the kingdom of the skies and the earth. He already said this. Look at the second ayah. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْآيَةُ الْخَامِسَةُ كَذَلِكَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Fifth ayah the same way. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Why twice? Why does somebody say something twice? You know, your father is yelling at you. He says, I'm your father. 10 minutes ago, I'm your father. What does that mean? Why would he say it? They're not listening. You don't show respect. He has to say it twice. Then your mother says, listen to him, he's your father. 3 times he said to you, why? It's not getting in your head. You don't show respect. Allah is talking to those who listen to these ayat and it doesn't go in their head. And he says, were you listening?
will go back to Allah. They'll be brought back to Him, He'll judge them. In Allah, you judge them more. Yulijul layla fil nahar. Now when you realize all the things I do will go back to Allah. Very next ayah, He says He makes the night go into the day. Or yulijul nahar fil layl. And He makes the day go into the night. Why did He mention night and day? Because if you understood that every one of your deeds will go back to Allah, your day will change and your night will change. And every time a night is going into the day, you will say, Ya Allah, what have I done today? And every time a day is turning into night, Ya Allah, what am I going to do this morning? Your days and nights will change. It will change. And He's the one who's making every day go into every night, giving you a sense of urgency, giving me a sense of urgency. And He has full knowledge of what's going on deep inside the chest. What the full nature of the chest, what you got inside you, the temptations you have, the evil thoughts you have, the things you want to say but you don't say, but they're in your head. You know? All the waswasas of shaitan that come in your head. Oh man, if we even knew what each other's evil thoughts were, we would run from each other like we've never seen a more evil person. And Allah says, I know you on the inside. We come in front of each other and we dress nicely. We speak nicely. We act our best. We have a social contract to engage with each other in a civil fashion. But you know what? Allah knows. Take all those layers of social norms off and all the formalities away. Allah knows who you really, really, really are. I mean, even your wife doesn't know who you really are. Your husband doesn't know who you really are. There is a part of, we know each other, husband and wife know each other more than anybody else usually. Mother and child know each other no more than anybody else. But even they are surprised to find out sometimes. That's who you are? Allah says, I know who you really are. You can't show me a resume to impress me. Your credentials and what other people like about you, you're not going to be able to give me that because I know how fake it is. I know what you really are. We have to, you know, if we're really going to have a relationship with Allah, if I'm going to have a relationship with Allah, please remember these words. Please remember them. This is very important. People might have a good opinion of you, and people might have a bad opinion of you. None of that means anything to Allah. Allah's opinion of you has nothing to do with people's opinion of you. If people think you're great, that is no guarantee that Allah thinks you're great. None. You're kidding yourself. If people think you're terrible, you're going to hell, you're evil, that is no guarantee Allah thinks you're evil. You might still have Allah still has love for you. What people think of me and what people think of you means nothing with Allah. When people praise us, when people condemn us, we don't let that make us think, oh, that's how Allah thinks of me. On the one hand, a person becomes delusional because people's praise makes them think they must be praiseworthy with Allah. They become delusional. Hypocrisy sets in. Self-righteousness sets in. And they lose all ranking with Allah. Then all they get is dunya and people's praise. And they come in front of Allah and Allah says, you got what you were working for. You got nothing with me. And on the other hand, you have people that may be trying to do good, but others judge them and, you know, pass verdicts on them, and they start saying, yeah, people think I'm messed up, I must be messed up. Who told you you're messed up? Allah? No. Allah didn't give up on you, you gave up on yourself, and you come in front of Allah, yeah, Allah, you already thought I was messed up, and Allah has a right to tell you, I didn't judge you. People judge you. I kept the doors of Tawbah open for you. I have the invitation of, why'd you give up on me? Don't blame people, blame yourself. So this is the relationship we have to have. He knows the nature of the chest. The bottom line of that is, He knows who I really am. He knows who you really are. No one will know me better. No one will know me better. Nobody will, people complain sometimes, nobody understands me. My husband doesn't understand me. My wife doesn't understand me. My parents don't understand me. Nobody, even if nobody understands you, no one thing. Allah understands you and you very, very well. These are the six ayat at the beginning of this surah. All of them were about Allah. Now He says, Aminu lillahi wa rasulihi. Believe in Allah and His Messenger. Yani, min al-mufajah. It is shocking. Emil Budhish, it's shocking. And I have the ayat to khatib al Muslim. These ayat are talking to the Muslim. And the Muslim is being told, believe in Allah and His Messenger. Why is he being told that? Your iman has gotten so rusty that you need to be introduced to Allah all over again, and now that you have, bring your shahada again. Revive your iman again. Become Muslim all over again. You need to start over. Because this is what the ayah is saying. Somebody might say, already believe in Allah and His Messenger. It's done. No, apparently not. Maybe it's all on your tongue. But these ayats are about the heart. Believe in Allah and His Messenger. Revive your faith in Allah. Rethink your relationship with Allah. Relive that relationship with Allah and His Messenger. وَأَنْفِقُوا and this time spend. مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ Spend out of all the things He left temporarily with you. I'll translate again. Spend out of all the things He left, what? Temporarily behind with you. That's istikhlaf. To leave something behind temporarily. That's called istikhlaf. He says, I have given you health temporarily, I have given you money temporarily, I have given you strength and intellect and opportunity to get an education and a house and car and job temporarily. Now give me from it. I have given you ability, give me from it. I've given you talent, give me from it. What are you going to spend for me? Because I'm telling you, those things I've given you were only temporary to see how much of it are you willing to give me back. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْفَقُوا Then those among you that truly do believe and as a result will be willing to spend and will have spent, لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ They're going to have huge compensation. And by the way, that compensation will not be temporary. That will be permanent. He says, وَمَا لَكُمْ Listen to these ayahs. وَمَا لَكُمْ What is wrong with you? كَيْفْ يَقُولَ هَذَا كَلَامٌ بِالْمُسْلِمِ How is Allah saying this to a Muslim? What is wrong with you? You don't believe in Allah? You don't believe in the Messenger? And the Messenger, in fact, is calling you. He's inviting you. So you actually believe in your Rabb. You actually have faith in your Master. Allah, Azza wa Jalla, in these ayat, is making a distinction that every Muslim should know and never forget. There is a kind of faith, iman, that I assume you have and you assume I have. But that is again me judging you and you judging me. But there is an iman inside of me, either it's there or it's not there. And the only one who knows if it's really there or not is Allah. And Allah is complaining, your tongue says iman. Everybody says salam to you, say wa alaykum as-salam. Why didn't I see iman in you? The Messenger is calling you to really have iman. And your master. Why didn't I see the fruits of that faith? Where is that iman? Why is it so artificial in you? وَقَدْ أَخَذَ مِثَاقَكُمْ And he's already taken the agreement from you. I mean, he took an agreement from all of humanity, but he took an agreement above and beyond that from the Muslim. When every Muslim said, La ilaha illallah, it was an agreement. When every Muslim said, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was an agreement with Allah. How can you make that agreement and I don't see iman in you? I don't see that diamond for the change. What's wrong with you? There's something wrong with you. Allah, lakum. These words are very scary. When Allah tells a Muslim what is wrong with you, it's pretty scary. You know? In kuntum mu'mineen, if in fact you are believers, what an ending of that. What is wrong with you? You don't believe? The contract's already been taken, if you're believers. In other words, it seems at this point you have deteriorated to the point where even your iman is subject to question. I don't know if you're believers anymore or not. In kuntum mu'mineen. If in fact you're believers. هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ Somebody says, Allah said, I don't have iman. He said, why? How come I don't see iman in you? How will I get this iman? Allah answers the question in the next ayah. He said, He's the one who sends upon His slave, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayatin bayyinatin, clear, miraculous revelations, clear, miraculous signs. Quran, He sends upon His slave these ayat that make iman clear, that clear the clutter in your heart, that open you up. And what does He say that for? لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ So He can bring you out of darknesses into light. These ayat are also very scary. You know why? والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من الظلمات إلى الظلمات. الكلام في الكفار.
Who's in the darkness? Kafir. And then Allah brings the Kafir into light and he becomes a Muslim. In these ayat, Allah says, so he can bring you out of darkness into light. You here is Muslims. So the Muslims are in darkness. In the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, the Kafir was in darkness. In the ayat of Surah Al-Hadid, the Muslim is in darkness. He's in shades of darkness. The darkness of a Muslim is hypocrisy, nifaq. Dhu'f al-Iman, weakness of Iman. Allah says, I sent ayat not only to get non-Muslims to become Muslim, but for Muslims to become mu'min. For weak Muslims to become real mu'min. That's why I gave you these ayat. لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُمْ لَرَءُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah, in your case, has always been compassionate. He's always caring. The show of His care and compassion is this Qur'an. Somebody says, I have weak iman. You must have a weak relationship with the Qur'an to have weak iman. Allah gave us this kalam so we can keep our iman fresh. Keep our iman strong. The most valuable treasure we have is iman in our hearts. I mean, if we have iman in our hearts, then everything else can go and we're okay. And if we don't have iman in our hearts, you can have everything in your hand and nothing is okay. We're going to go in front of Allah bankrupt. The clothes will not be with us. The money will not be with us. The children won't be with us. The savings won't be with us. The house won't be with us. The car won't be with us. The only thing that we should be able to show another is worth anything. He says, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The exception is only the one who comes to Allah with a healthy heart. A heart that's got iman inside. Bring me that. Don't give me anything else. There's nothing else that's worth anything. And then he says, in these ayat, the Qur'an, these ayat, they are there so you can have iman. Because I care about you. Because I know how rusty iman can get. That's why I gave you this book. And then I gave you a necessary exercise every single day in which you can go back to this book and clean your heart again, and again, and again, and again. Salat. Salat was supposed to be a mechanism by which our heart is cleansed. Well, ma'alakum. What's wrong with you? Alakum fi kufi sabilillah. You don't spend in Allah's path. وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And Allah owns the inheritance of the skies and the earth. Mirath. Inheritance. Previously he mentioned mulk, the kingdom. Now he mentions inheritance. When does somebody get inheritance, folks? You tell me. When someone dies. And the conversation of mirath comes up when someone is old. You don't talk about mirath of a 5-year-old. You don't talk about the inheritance of a 20-year-old. But when does the conversation about mirath come up mostly? 90-year-old. 100-year-old. We should think about the will. You understand? When someone is close to death, one of the conversations that come up is what? Mirat. Allah says, Allah is the owner of the inheritance of the skies and the earth. What is Allah saying? The skies and the earth are close to death. The last messenger has come. The final book has come. The only major event left now is Judgment Day. This is time to bring up inheritance. And the only one who will inherit this entire universe is Allah. He'll be left. If someone dies, somebody else takes ownership. Someone else dies, someone else takes ownership. When everything dies, who will take ownership? SubhanAllah. Young people in the audience, listen to this. لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. Those of you that spent, anybody who spent before victory came and fought before victory came is not equal. They're not all equal. Equal to who? Those who fought after. Those who came after. Those who struggled for Islam. Those who live up to the requirements of their own faith and then become flag bearers of Islam in their time, even though all around them is kufr. Even though all around them is kufr, Allah says those are special people. They are not equal to those who worked for Islam and lived Islam when times were convenient. I like these people. They lived in fitna and fought it. They lived in fitna and fought. They're not equal to those who lived in convenient time. When Islam was victorious, everybody around you was Muslim. The adhan could be heard from your house. You didn't know what Quran was because it wasn't available anywhere. You never had to check the ingredients on the side of the food item. It was out there. You didn't know what beer was. You didn't know that, that existed. You know, you didn't know what a concert was. Fitna didn't exist. Everything was good. People say, man, I gotta go somewhere where there's no fitna. And Allah says, people who stayed through the fitna and still spent before victory came, those are special. Those people have a higher rank. The higher rank than those who fought after. Those who spent after. For everybody, Allah has promised the very, very best. He has promised everyone the very best. But in the ayah, Allah did indicate that He has a special place for Muslims who live in difficult times and then spend. And when I say spend, I don't mean just money. I mean time, I mean priority, I mean weekends, I mean weeknights, I mean early mornings. Okay, I understand your work. I got it. I know you got a couple of hours in you. How do you spend your evening? How do you spend your night? How late are you up? What time do you wake up? What are you doing in your morning? What are you spending your time with? The biggest asset you have, I have, is our time. How are you spending your time? Allah is not just asking for your money. He says infaq, he didn't say infaq al-mal. This could be infaq al-waqt, infaq al-shabab, infaq al-istibar, infaq al-qudra. Spending your capabilities, spending your youth. You know, you have to spend. If you want to be ranked before Allah, Allah will be my ta'ala. Allah has full news of what you're up to. Man ladhi yuqlib Allaha qalban hasan. Man, I don't know. The ayah is translated, who, anyone out there who will give Allah a good loan, open-ended loan? There's a few things to understand here. When you ask who will give, you say, مَنِ الَّذِي يُقْرِبُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا. Actually, you don't even say قَرْضًا. You say, مَنِ الَّذِي يُقْرِبُ اللَّهَ, who will give Allah a loan? The ayah says, مَنْ الَّذِي يُقْرِبُ اللَّهَ. The dha means anyone out there. Anybody? Do I see anyone that is willing to rise to give Allah a loan? Now, Allah already described in 6 ayat, and then on top of that after, that He owns the entire universe. The entire universe will be inherited by Him. There is nothing in existence that is not His own property. And yet now He says, give me a loan. Loan is given by to someone who doesn't own something. Allah already told us in the surah, He owns everything. Why is He asking for a loan? Why? You have to understand this is a matter of integrity. Integrity. In order to help you understand this, I'll give you an example. It's going to hurt. If my mother comes to me and says, Rina, can I borrow $100? I promise I'll pay it back. I don't know when I'll be able to pay it back, but I promise I'll pay you back. Can I just borrow $100? If my mother had to say that to me, man, if there was ever a time I would contemplate suicide, that would be it. How insensitive and greedy and oblivious to the needs of my mother must I be? And how greedy must she think I am that instead of telling me, give me $100, she had to say what? Let me borrow $100. And then on top of that, she had to say, I don't know when I'll be able to pay you back, but I promise I will. She must be talking like this because she thinks I am so greedy. I am so greedy. I don't even respect my mother enough that she's asking me like this. Now Allah is asking the greedy Muslim who's holding on to his money like it's his. And so Allah says to him, okay, you don't want to let it go? At least give me what? Give me a loan. Give me a loan, I'll pay you back. I'm good for it. The believer should hear these ayat and just, Ya Allah, I'm not that greedy. I'll give. And he says, Qablan Hasanan, not Qablan. Qablan is a loan. Qablan Hasanan is actually an open-ended loan, meaning you don't set a deadline. It's up to the borrower to give you back whatever. Why does Allah say that? He just says, trust me, I'll pay you back. I'll give it back to you. Don't put a deadline on me. He's asking you to trust. Multiply for him. Not only is he good for the loan, he'll give you back extra. And he has noble, gracious reward. gracious compensation, meaning he'll pay you back, and on top of that, he'll give you ajr, and that ajr itself will be noble. He'll dignify you, he'll honor you. If you can just honor this little bit, give to Allah back. Now Allah turns to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the ayat were aminu billahi wa rasul. Rasul was mentioned. Now the ayat are coming, and who's reciting the ayat? Rasulullah is reciting the ayat. And the Sahaba are listening, and they're sitting there crying like, wow, we must be on a really bad low that Allah is revealing these ayat. And the Messenger feels bad for who? For the Sahaba. But the Messenger is no option but to recite the ayat, because he doesn't make the ayat, Allah gives him the ayat. So he's the believers are getting the scolding from their beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Allah. And now Allah turns his attention to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, yawma tara, the day on which you will see. Ya Nabi, the day you will see al-mu'mineena wal-mu'minat, believing men and believing women. By the way, when you say al-mu'mineen, it includes women. Una ila, remember that combination includes men and women. But Allah highlighted al-mu'minat. Why? Because in this ayah Allah wanted to honor women. He honored women and said their iman may be different, their struggles may be different. And you will see both of them standing on judgment day. Yas'a nuruhum bayna aydihim wa bi aymanihim. A light will be running out of them from right in front of them and from their right hand. Judgment day is dark. Judgment day is dark. There's no light. And we gotta make it to Jannah. And we gotta go over Jahannam. In minkum min awwaliha. Everybody has to go over it. There's no exception. Believer, disbeliever, there is nobody except you'll have to go over Jahannam to get to Jannah. Urdu mein bol sirat kehte hain. Bol sirat. Bol sirat. Bol sirat. Pretty short. But anyway, you have to go, and the path is what? Dark. Those who had iman in their heart, I told you the only thing that matters in this world. Allah will convert that faith in your heart into light, literally a torch coming out of your chest that is lighting the path. And then there's another light in the right hand. This is the light of iman. This is the light of deeds. Allah never just mentions light of the chest. And Allah never just mentions light of the hand. He always mentions them together. Why? Because if you have light in your heart, it is impossible for you not to do action. It is impossible for you not to change. It's impossible. You can't just have light in your heart and say, brother, I have iman in my heart. I don't pray, but I have iman in my heart. Try that on judgment day. See if this battery works and this one's dead. See how that works out for you. Because in Quran, you either have both or you have what? Nothing. You have both or you have nothing. يَسْعَرْفُهُ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِيَيْمَانِهِمْ. The light is going, for some people the light goes all the way, for some people they can only see their feet. So they're walking slowly. And they don't know how long it is. They don't even know how long how long the journey is ahead. They're terrified. What does he say? بُشْرَاكُمْ لِيَوْمُ. Congratulations. Congratulations. Jannah. And they finish the walk. And they walk in. And they don't see one Jannah. They see multiple Jannahs. You know why that's beautiful? You know why that's beautiful? You can only enter one garden at a time. Yes? I mean, the guy owned Surah Al-Kahf, the guy owned two gardens. Right? وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا وَرَجُلًا جَعَدًا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ. Two gardens. But when he went into his garden, because he had a garden, he had a field, he had another garden. You know, وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا وَزَرْعَ كَانَ بَيْنَ جَنَّتَيْنِ. Right, the farm was between the two gardens. Can you enter two gardens that are separated by a field at the same time? No. So the ayah says, وَدَخَلَا جَنَّتَهُ. It doesn't say وَدَخَلَا جَنَّتَيْنِ. It doesn't say he entered both of his gardens. It says he entered one of his gardens. It's impossible to enter both gardens. You walk into Jannah, and Allah says immediately, Jannatun. Not Jannatun, what? Jannatun. You enter into a view where you don't see one of your properties, you see multiple properties. Tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, and you see the waterfalls flowing. And as soon as you walk in, you're shocked by the view, and you just hear, congratulations. As far as you can see, that's yours. That's yours. Jannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. خالدين فيها. You're always going to stay here. We go to beautiful places and we pay the most expensive prices for hotels to stay for a weekend.
And I said, man, I wish I could stay here.
And Allah said, look at that. And you're going to stay here.
That
is the ultimate success. Now, يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ, the day on which the hypocrites are going to say. See, in the previous ayah, Allah said, you will see the believers. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He doesn't say, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ. لِيَنَّ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَنْ يَرَاهُمْ. He will not see them. The munafiqun are not worthy of seeing the Rasul, and he is not going to be pained by having to see them. He will only see who? The believers, and they made it. Allahu aj'alna minhum. Then he says, يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ, the day on which hypocrite men and hypocrite women, because the hypocrisy of men is different from the hypocrisy of women. Their emotions are different. Their evils are different. Men's evils are different. And Allah says, yeah, you got to, just like he went out of his way to praise believing women, he went out of his way to condemn hypocritical women. Al-Munafiqun wal-Munafiqat. What will they say? لِلَّذِينَ عَلَمُوا. They will say to those who have iman. Now the scene is, the walk is long, and it's dark, and believers have light coming out of their hand and their chest, and they're walking to Jannah, and the hypocrites are in the dark. لَيْسَ لَهُمْ نُورٌ. They have no light. So they're just like, what's going on, what's going on? And they see ahead of them, some people seem to have some kind of light. So naturally, what do they want to do? Catch up. So they will say to those who have iman, أُنْظُرُونَ. Hey, wait for us. نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ. We can borrow some of your light, light up some torch or something, and we can hold on. You know, when you take an empty torch or an unlit torch and you put it in the flame, you borrow the flame, that's called iqtibas. Iqtibas, borrowed flame. Like Musa alayhi salam, when he was leaving his family, he said, أَعْلِيَاتِكُمْ مِنْهَا بِقَلَسِمْ. Right? Maybe I'll come back to you, borrowed flame. I'll light up my light with their light. That's called qalas. So نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ, we'll get some of your light. Can we have some light? You look like you have plenty of light. You can share. And you know the thing about light or fire is what? If you light somebody else, does that diminish your own? No. So what's the harm? We're not asking you for anything. We're not saying you can take your light. Just share a little. Give a little. Now, please, we do it. Qila, it will be said. Qila means it will be said. It doesn't mean the believers will say. Believers don't care anymore. They're gone. Angels, a voice is coming. And the voice, the announcement is made on the judgment day PA system. Irji'u. Yal Dhafari Waras. Go back. Wara'akum. Go turn on your backs. Go back. What's behind them? Dunya. Where are they now? Akhirah. Go back to dunya. Go. Fantabisu Nura. Go find some light there. See if you can find it there now. Sarcasm. Why don't you go find your light where all of your obsession was? All of your priorities were in dunya. All of your thoughts were about dunya. All of your exhaustion was about dunya. You Muslims, those who are on judgment day exposed as munafiqs, as hypocrites. Everything you wanted was for this world. Why don't you go find your light from this world too then? You had no concern about the next world. Why would you find your light over here? You invested nothing here. Go back. Obviously they hear that, but they say, they obviously know they can't go back. So they're trying to go forward again. He says, then a wall is dropped between them. They're trying to catch up to the guys, a wall is dropped. Lahu ba, which has a door. Allah didn't just say a wall is dropped, he said, he dropped a wall which has a door. Why did he mention a door? Because of the Munafiq, maybe the weak of iman, maybe he'll suffer in hellfire thousands of years. But after he's done paying for all of his sins, maybe there's still some iman in him. And that iman might still qualify him eventually for Jannah. How's he going to come out of that wall if there's no what? Door. This is a door. It doesn't say it's open. But it might open for some eventually, but they have to pay the price first. You know, subhanAllah, may Allah not make us on the wrong side of that wall. So he says, بَاطِنُهُ فِيهَا رَحْمَةً. The hidden side of that wall, the hidden side of it, there's love and care and mercy. وَاللَّهِ يُهُمْ. And right in front of it, the obvious side is punishment. يُنَادُونَهُمْ. Now the wall is dropped. If you imagine a wall between, like a partition over here, if I call out from here, can you hear the other side? Yeah. So they start calling from the wrong side of the wall. Alam nakum ma'akum? Hey, weren't we with you? We prayed together. We went to the same masjid together. We were in the same class. We hung out together. We used to play ball together. We were the same people. Why are you ditching us now? Alam nakum ma'akum? Weren't we with you? Qalu bala? They said, of course you were. You people, you put yourselves in trouble. You put yourselves in fitna. You put yourselves in questionable circumstances. You put yourselves in doubt. You kept putting yourselves in places that you knew would take you away from Allah. You put yourselves in company and in parties and hangouts that you knew would take you away from Allah, but you kept doing it anyway. And they're being told, hey, here's my translation of qatantum anfusakum for you, young man. You kept going to the party, bro. You kept kicking it on the weekend. Qatantum anfusakum. Watarabastum. And every time you were told to make tawbah, you said, man, Ramadan is like 3 more months. Chill. I'm going to make hajj next year. Let me just live it up. Alright? Let me just, come on. And even in Ramadan, it's not the 27th, alright? 27th, I heard you should do something extra things, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's just let me live a little, you know. It's not a postal. Guys making haram money, it's not just the young guys at the party. Guys making haram money, he's running, you know, running like selling liquor and gambling and all this stuff. And by the way, I'm not a mufti. I never will be. I respect our muftis. Well, let me tell you something about gambling and alcohol. They're not just haram. They are, according to Allah, rijsum min amal al-shaytan, abomination, evils from the work of the shaytan. Pork, pigs are haram, but they're not evil. They're just an animal. They're not evil. Alcohol, gambling are evil. They're evil. Allah calls them abominations from the work of shaytan. Not every haram is the same level. These are